Serving the Space Coast with the gospel of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. You are tuned in to 1510 AM, WWBC, Cocoa, Merritt Island, Melbourne, Titusville, as well as W234BI, Cocoa, Rockledge, Merritt Island, Titusville, and the Beaches, FM 94.7.
We want to welcome you to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is the radio ministry of Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. You can find out more about the church by visiting merrittassembly.com. If you have prayer requests or praise reports, please email us at merrittassembly@hotmail.com. We would love to stand in faith with you. Now, here with today's Refresh broadcast is Pastor Bob Arthurs.
And good day, Brevard County. It's Wednesday, and that means it's Bible study night at Merritt Assembly of God, 165 North Grove Street, Merritt Island, Florida. And we hope that you will join us 7 p.m. tonight. We have an adult Bible study. We have a kids class that my wife teaches. She does a fantastic job, works really hard at it. She got a full-time job and pours her heart into everything she does ministry-wise as well, and loving on our family as well. And so we've got that. We got a young adults class that meets tonight at 7 p.m. as well. We would love to have you come and be a part of what God is doing. My name is Bob Arthurs. I pastor Merritt Assembly of God. Our address is 165 North Grove Street in Merritt Island. Somebody asked me here not too long ago, where is your church located? And in fact, I think it was a guy who's on staff as a pastor at another church. And I said, well, we're 2 blocks north of 520 and we're 2 blocks west of Courtney Parkway. And, I said, if you go up on the roof of where you're at, I can probably see your shadow from where we are. That's where our church is located. We're right in the heart of the old Merritt Park Place subdivision. Ola Cuban Kitchen or Cuban Cuisine is right across the street from our church, and a lot of their diners park right in front of our church. And you want to go to eat and then come to church, we would love that. Feed your body, feed your soul. That would be absolutely wonderful. Tonight at 7 p.m. This morning, we're going to dive back into Mark chapter 9, verse number 14. And when he came to the disciples, he saw a great multitude around him and the scribes disputing with him. Immediately, when they saw him, all the people were greatly amazed and running to him, greeted him, and he asked the scribes, what are you discussing with them? Then one of the crowd answered and said, teacher, I brought you my son who has a mute spirit, and wherever it seizes him, it throws him down. He foams at the mouth, gnashes his teeth, and becomes rigid. So I spoke to your disciples that they should cast it out, but they could not. He answered him and said, O faithless generation, how long shall I be with you? How long shall I bear with you? Bring him to me. Then they brought him to Jesus, and when he saw Jesus, immediately the spirit convulsed him, and he fell on the ground and wallowed, foaming at the mouth. So he asked his father, how long has this been happening to him? And he said, from childhood, and often he has thrown him both into the fire and into the water to destroy him. But if you can do anything, have compassion on us. Jesus said, if you can believe, all things are possible. Immediately the father of the child cried out and said with tears, Lord, I believe, help my unbelief. When Jesus saw that the people came running together, he rebuked the unclean spirit, saying to it, deaf and dumb spirit, I command you, come out of him and enter him no more. Then the spirit cried out, convulsed him greatly, and came out of him, and he became as one dead, so that many said, he's dead. But Jesus took him by the hand and lifted him up, and he arose. And when he had come into the house, his disciples asked him privately, "Why could we not cast it out?" And he said, "This kind can come out by nothing but prayer and fasting." So on yesterday's program, we were beginning to look at the questions that Jesus asks in this story. The first question was, what are you arguing with them about? What are you discussing with them about? By the way, I will tell you that the scribes in the crowd quit arguing with the disciples when Jesus showed up on the scene. If there is strife and discord, what we need is we need the presence of Jesus. If we can set aside the time of arguing and shift our conversation to God, to the point where we're not there in an accusatory tone, but instead we're there in a spirit of worship and praise, that is a great, great place to be. All of a sudden, the environment can change. This shift from focus on the disciples to focus on Jesus sets the stage for this family's deliverance. So the latter part of the program, we talked about that Jesus was addressing these next questions to a faithless generation. So let me ask you this question. What word would you use to describe the activity level of your faith? So there are three different stages. And in the Old Testament, you can look and you can see that what we would think is the worst stage, being faithless, is actually not. It's not the worst. Faithless means that we're just not employing on a daily basis what God has placed into our spiritual toolbox. He's given us faith. We're not using it. We're living a faithless life. So faithlessness is one condition. On the high end of the faith spectrum is faithfulness. And God is looking for faithful people. People who are saying, I've come too far to go back now. I've seen too much. Experienced too much of the goodness of God. He's been better to me than I deserved, and I'm going to use the faith that he has given me to be faithful to the word of God, to be faithful to the mission of God, to be faithful till the end of my life. So those are two conditions. But the worst one is not faithless, but unfaithful. It's one thing if it's not being employed. It's an entirely different matter when a person believes they're faithful and yet they are unfaithful to the Word of God, unfaithful to the principles of God, and they're living an unfaithful lifestyle. Okay, you cannot trust an unfaithful person. I would rather deal with a person who is not a believer. This is going to sound controversial. I would rather deal with a non-believer than I would choose to deal with an a person who is unfaithful. And so there are many people who the words that come out of their mouth are one thing, but the life that they live is an entirely different matter. They can be spouting blessings at one moment, and they can be spouting curses at another moment. They can be encouraging faithfulness all the while they're living in violation of their earthly covenants. And if they will violate that covenant, you can rest assured they will violate the other covenants. So being a faithless generation is not the worst indictment. But the goal should be that he will find us as faithful people. So how long shall I be with you? Well, the good news is he will be with us forever, just not always visible with the eyes, not always being able to reach out and touch him, not being able to audibly hear his voice. We have to move into the realm where we live, not by sight, but by faith. That I know he's here. I know he's speaking. I know he loves me. I know he can resolve this situation. I know he's in control. I know he works all things together for the love of, or for the good of those who love him and are called according to his purpose. I know he's God. I know the devil's not God. I know that God has good plans for me. The devil has disastrous plans for me. And I know Jesus is coming again. I know he's my exceeding great reward. Those things cause us to live a faithful life. The next question is, how long shall I bear with you? Now, that word bear means endure with you. And the Greek means, how long shall I bear with you? How long shall I endure with your complaining? When the lexicon, I actually wrote that down when I was writing that, because it's not just about whether or not he can support us during difficult times, but it's all the while the goodness of God is operating in our life, and yet if it's not as soon as we like it, if it's not exactly how we like it, then it becomes a season of complaining. One of the things that I do try and teach people whenever I get the occasion is, be careful about complaining against God. There's a couple of times in the Old Testament where it says, I loathe my life, therefore I give free rein to my complaints, or speak out in the, I complaining. I'm trying to remember. Hold on just a second. Let me go back and find it. Anyway, it talks about loathing his life and voicing complaints in the bitterness of soul. That's the essence of that passage. Before, you know, if I can't find the exact reference, I'll have to get that to you at another time. I know Job is one of the places that it mentions that. It's also in the Psalms on occasion. But let me see if I can find it here in the book of Job real quick. Da 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 da. So sometimes I have these. Oh, here it is. My soul loathes my life. It's in Job chapter 10, verse number 1. My soul loathes my life. I will give free course to my complaint. I will speak in the bitterness of my soul. That's not the way that we should be making our journey with God. And so I will say this. God is not intimidated or threatened whenever we have honest communication with him. So there are people who had very, very pointed conversations with God that are recorded in the scripture. God didn't strike them dead. He also never told them that they were right in doing that. So whenever someone starts complaining, look, if you complain about me, you know, you got to get in line, because I've got complaints about me all the time. You know, if you don't believe me, join me on a golf course one time and I'll talk to myself, what'd you hit that shot over there for? I know me better than other people know me. So I know I got my own problems. You complain about me. That's okay. You complain about God, and that shows a lack of judgment, because God is absolutely perfect, perfectly holy, perfectly powerful, perfectly compassionate, and perfectly just. He treats us better than we deserve. And so if we're not careful, we will find ourselves in the same attitude that the children of Israel, when they came out of Egypt, had, where God's miraculously providing for them nonstop every day, and they're murmuring and complaining the whole way. Jesus said, how long shall I bear with you? And according to the Greek lexicon, that involves, you know, a complete journey of nothing but complaining. I will tell you this, it's very, very unlikely that you're going to complain and praise God at the same time. Praising God is supposed to be something that we're doing continually. Complaining is something that we should have in our life very, 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 very minimally. So he says, bring him to me. Bring him to me. And that is a great thing to do. You've got a frustrating situation in your life. You've not seen any success with all of the different strategies. Make sure that not the last strategy, but the first strategy, is we bring him to Jesus. Again, Jesus showed up on the scene. The scribes and the crowd quit arguing with the disciples. The dad says, I brought my son to your disciples. They couldn't cast it out. Jesus' solution is bring him to me. Let me address the fourth question here, and that is down in verse number 29. So he said to, or in verse number 28, when he had come into the house, his disciples asked, no, that's the wrong one. Verse number 21 is the fourth question. Sorry, there was a question, but it was a question from the disciples. Verse number 21, Jesus asked, how long has this been happening to him? They brought him to Jesus, verse number 20. When he saw him, immediately the spirit convulsed him, and he fell on the ground and wallowed, foaming at the mouth. That word convulsed means that he was being thrown onto the ground, and he was being torn and mangled and rend and torn in pieces. It happens again in verse number 26 when Jesus commands the spirit to leave the boy's body, and it says, and the spirit cried out and convulsed him greatly. In other words, it became even more violent. And so that damaging, destroying aspect that the thief operates on, it is one of the telltale signs that there's some spiritual activity that is going on. And if it's intensifying, I don't want you to get frustrated, because when it went from convulsing to convulsing him greatly, it was because he was on the way out. Sometimes things look like they're getting worse before they get better. So, Jesus said, "Bring him to me." And when they brought him to Jesus, it says when he, the little H, saw him, the big H, meaning Jesus, that was when the convulsing, the tearing, the rending, the mangling and the violence took place, because demons are not happy in the presence of Jesus. The presence of Jesus torments them. They would rather be tormented than be at peace with. There's a lot of people who say, "How can your loving God send anybody to hell?" Listen, it was a place of torment that was never meant for human beings. Hell was created for the devil and his angels, because heaven was a place of torment for them. They were living in absolute perfection, and they hated the sovereignty of God and his justice, and the pride of the enemy kicked in, and then the deception kicked in and the rebellion kicked in, and God removed them from heaven. They were miserable. I believe it's Dante's Inferno. It's a line that is not reflecting an accurate position of Satan in hell, but it says better to rule in hell than to serve in heaven, something like that. And I've got news for you. Nobody's ruling in hell. Nobody will be ruling in the lake of fire. It will not be a hierarchy. It will be a place of misery. And the greatest misery is separation from the presence of God. You don't have to live separated from his presence. If the thought of spending forever with Jesus is not a glorious thought for you, check your heart. Check your heart. If you don't value his word, if you don't value worshiping him, I don't really know how to say this, but get back into the presence of God. Enjoy his presence. His presence is not just a future promise. It's a present reality that he wants from us. And so Jesus' question is, how long has this been happening to him? And the answer has been from childhood. Now, they were arguing with the disciples because they weren't able to immediately resolve the problem. But the father says this problem's been going on for a long, long time. And that brings him to verse number 22. If you can do anything, have compassion on us and help us. I don't know what you are going through. I don't know if it's a good season or a bad season, challenging season. I don't know if you've got a medical diagnosis, but I can tell you right now, being several hundred miles away from situations that need my attention, there can be some moments where you feel a little on the helpless side, and I've got multiple places that I need to be at the same time. It's a very difficult season, but it's a season that I know God is right there with me in, and he will help me to make the right decisions and open the right doors and close the wrong doors. And I know this, that he is going to be there with us to help us. Don't just ask Jesus to come in to your situation and hold your hand and comfort you. Invite him in to help you to transform the situation and turn it from something disastrous into something glorious. Jesus, help us. The Holy Spirit is the paraclete. God, the Holy Spirit, is the one who's called alongside to help us. I'm going to close the story out today with a humorous story. Got a man in my church. He is a tremendous, tremendous man of God, but he's also a tremendous mechanic. And he is, through the decades that we have known him, he has helped us a number of times with some issues that we have had on our car. There was one time that I was over and he was working on our car, and I said, do you want me to do this? No. Do you want me to do this? No. Do you want me to do this? No. Do you want me to help you? No. The reason wasn't because he didn't want help, is because I didn't know what I was supposed to be doing. And so he didn't need my help because I was a lousy helper. I've got great news for you today. God is not a lousy helper. He is an expert. He is an expert in dealing with spiritual problems. He's an expert in dealing with relational problems. He's an expert in dealing with spiritual. He's a relational, financial, whatever help you are needing. I want to encourage you today. Appeal to God. Say, God, I am so thankful that you are moved with compassion on my behalf. Would you utilize that compassion, employ that compassion, and bring me the help that you know I need so that you receive the glory and the honor and the praise. Lord, help us. See you tomorrow here on Refresh.
Thank you for tuning in today to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is brought to you by the church family of Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. If you do not have a church home, we invite you to visit with us this Sunday. We have Sunday school at 9:30 a.m. and worship at 10:30 a.m. We are located at 165 North Grove Street on Merritt Island. You can discover more about the church through our website, merrittassembly.com. Email us any prayer needs and testimonies to merrittassembly@hotmail.com. We invite you to tune in Monday through Friday on WMIE 91.5 at 8:30 a.m. and 5 o'clock p.m. and WWBC 1510 at 10:30 a.m. Remember Proverbs 11:25, "He who refreshes others will himself be refreshed."